Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out. If you're here, you probably know it's MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. The likes are increasing. We're getting close to 1,800. Like I said, I want 2,000 pretty soon, in a couple weeks.
Like.
Yes, click the like. MWCConnection on Twitter. That's Chris Hondris there. Jeremy Wass.
What's up?
I'm here for a recap show. Is this two in a row?
This is two in a row, but Matt's not here.
Oh, sorry, Matt. That's okay.
Sorry, Matt.
I hope. Did you happen to listen to my mammoth 55-minute solo show?
Yeah, how do you talk? I better redact that question because I was about to say, how do you talk for 55 minutes straight without nobody else talking? But then I realized I'm a teacher and I do the same exact damn thing. So
yeah. I paused like once or twice when I stumbled on something, but I was basically just going at it. So I'm like, I thought it was okay. Not too bad, not too great, but listenable, I would say. Is that the bar I'm setting?
Oh, absolutely.
Listenable. We got games this week. We got, I'm sorry, Matt. Fresno, I apologize, Scott. I don't know what to tell you. I can't console you anymore at all. I don't know what the deal is.
It's just, they're so bad.
Let's do this. Let's get to one of the questions off the top. Hot seat.
Which one?
Hot seat.
Hot seat. Oh, DeRuiter.
Number one
DeRuiter
by a
more
mile.
Than Chow right now.
Yeah. Well, I got crushed, but I was thinking about this because there was something from the guys at Scout.
Basically, actually, you know what? Polian.
No, DeRuiter more than Polian.
DeRuiter is definitely more than Polian. Yeah, okay, fine.
We'll discuss that, but here's why DeRuiter. There's something from the guys from Scout over at Barkboard.com. Our guy, who is Irwin, does a little stuff with them, but I don't think it was directly from him. However, saying basically there are too many cooks. Three coaches aren't talking to each other. They all feel they're like a head coach. So obviously it's Tim DeRuiter. And I said this in the preview show, I think, but there's DeRuiter, Dave Schramm. And I don't even know who the defensive coordinator is, but their name's not important. But if they think they're in charge of something, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the deal? For you, because we've seen, I speculated, and I'll let you respond or interact with what you feel is most appropriate.
Oh, why, thank you.
Well, that sounded terrible, but Pat Hill brought in the players. We've seen DeRuiter been able to coach with good players. Like I say it a million times, Isaiah Burse, Josh Harper, Devontae Adams, Derek Carr, obviously, Tyler Wentworth, all guys who are either in the NFL or had a shot in the NFL or practice squad or something, drafted at least. His recruiting's been terrible. We know he can coach. I think he can coach because look what he did with those guys, but is it just recruiting and that's all there is to it? He's not bringing in talent?
No. That can't be right. There has to be over an element. Either there's an off-field element going around that's really just poisoning the locker room. Not physically, but, you know. Emotionally poisoning the locker room, or DeRuiter really can't coach. I mean, okay, so here's what I'm getting, right? It's easier to coach the more talented players.
Obviously.
Right? So if you have less talented players, and we know DeRuiter has less talented players because his recruiting classes haven't been as good as Hill's used to be. I'm making that claim unsubstantiated or, you know, unsourced, so I'm probably wrong when I said that. But simply put, you know, look, here, you recruited the talent. Now, what do you do with that talent that you recruit? And simply put, if you're not doing anything with the talent you recruit, it's coming out to be just, you know, horribly awful. I mean, it comes to, like, oh, say, like, to the effect of, like, Brady Hoke had some great recruiting classes at Michigan, and he just basically crashed and burned them all.
And Rich Rodriguez, too. Look at what Harbaugh's doing.
Exactly. Rich Rodriguez. And you can say look at Harbaugh, but Harbaugh's bringing everybody back to life. So, I mean, there's an element of recruiting, but there's also an element of coaching. And right now, during the season, it's an element of coaching.
Does he make it? Well, also, really quick, Zach Greenlee, Elite 11. I know it's overrated a bit, but he made it to the finals. But I was joking. I asked in the chat last night on our open thread. I'm like, is this honestly a good thing that everybody got hurt that they can't change quarterbacks? And I was only half kidding, but then Matt chimes in. He's like, well, maybe we should because Greenlee did nothing. Because I kind of felt like if he's the guy and there's minimal threat to be pulled, you should play better. Because I've played sports. I've had the thing looking over your shoulder. You're not starting. You're not playing where you think you should play. You screw up, you come out. One of those things. If you're the guy, you screw up, whatever. You're more loose. You'll play better. You think you should play better. But that doesn't seem to be the case. I figure it'd be advantageous for him to be the guy and not worry about being pulled. But it didn't seem to matter.
And no, it really doesn't. And so this could be a couple of possibilities. Once again, this could be all play calling. Greenlee doesn't have the vision, obviously, of just hitting short routes. But at the same time, you know, it could be just – I hate to say this because the conference just seems so horrible this year.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be the rest of the conference catching up to them too.
I don't think as much as that because, well, let's just get into the games. We'll start with that game right now because that's the last game we're talking about. We'll get into it. They lost 21-7 to San Diego State, and San Diego State's not looking that good either. Remember, they lost to South Alabama after having the lead at home, and here's the quarterbacks are awful. Maxwell Smith, 5 of 12. Had 2 touchdowns, 5 of 12.
He was the leading quarterback in this game.
Yeah, Zach Greenlee, 12 of 25. Rushing yards, they had at one point, I need to re-edit one of my posts that I didn't check this properly. At one point,
Donnell Pumphrey.
1 yard rushing, positive rushing yards for Fresno at one point. Waller had 20 yards. 20 yards.
On 11 carries.
Yeah.
This team, that Fresno State had 99 yards of total offense. Sorry, 89 yards. How do you only have 89 yards of total offense?
Dave Stram can't call play. They have not the real Keyshawn Johnson, this other Keyshawn Johnson who did catch 5 passes for 20 yards, 35 yards. San Diego State's defense is still pretty good. But they're not this good because what did we put Martez Waller? Wasn't he top 5 in everybody's our top 50 countdown list?
He was in my top 10. He was at least
top 10. He was maybe top 5.
And we said at the beginning of the year in the preview conference, this team will only go as far as Martez Waller can take him because Fresno State's quarterbacking situation is horrible. And we see that. Martez Waller literally went nowhere today.
Yeah,
he went 20 yards.
Yeah, you're right. Literally nowhere. 20 yards. Yeah, it's this game. Because look at Aztecs, man. Chase Price had a huge game. Donald Pumphrey over 100 yards. They just crushed it. They did what Fresno can't do, a stop throw. They rushed the ball 60 times. And that's partially because they have the talent and partially Maxwell Smith sucks. Sorry, he's not a good quarterback. And
yeah, absolutely.
Here's the... His stats are ridiculous. 2 of his passes were for 77 yards total. And here's the thing. San Diego State's may not even be the best team in the West. And Matt's 4-8 projection for Fresno State might be too high.
Yeah. And let's be honest with there. I'm with you. San Diego State is looking less and less like the best team in the West because this game was tied 7-7 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why, I mean, I was joking at the end of the first quarter. Like I was at a dance last night, and we were score checking because we were just score checking the Aztecs game.
That's what you do,
and stop having fun and dancing. But it was funny because I was looking at the scores. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's 7-0 at halftime. Or 7-7 at halftime, I guarantee the next person to score the touchdown will win this game.
I could have watched the game. I was working, but I was able to stream for Boise, Hawaii, and we'll get to that later, but I couldn't switch over. But I saw his low-scoring games. I saw the yards. I'm trying to pull up our recap from Scott, who put an excellent point to the drive chart of this game, if my internet would work. But basically, they're going – let me actually maybe pull up the Fresno drive chart instead here. It's pathetic.
So Maxwell Smith, ready for this. So Maxwell Smith's 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah, 44 and 33.
44, 33. Those were the winning touchdown games. Those were, those, it came to the point where, okay, Maxwell Smith was without those two touchdown passes, he was 3 of 11 for under 30 yards. Yeah, for under 30 yards. Okay, I'm sorry, 33 yards.
Okay, here's,
oh my goodness,
here's a little bit of what Scott, his recap of the game. I appreciate him doing it soon after the game, and it got published right after midnight. Look here, well, right after the game ended. Here's what Fresno State did on first down, because first down's pretty important, right?
Run the ball.
Well, not just that. He didn't go that deep. He just put the play out there. Their very first down. I'll go quick. Gain of 4 yards, not bad. A gain of 1 yard, no. Minus one. 1 yard, 3 yards, minus two, minus 12, minus three, minus four. Hey, 2 yards. Minus 10, 3 yards, 0 yards. That's their entire first down chart of the game. There was what? I'd call three of those reasonably good. A four, three, and 2 3-yard gains and a 4 yard gain. You're going minus 12, minus two. They had one rushing yard heading into the fourth quarter.
Fresno State had 6 first downs in this whole game. They were 0-12 on third down efficiency.
You mean deficiency?
Yeah, deficiency. They were deficient in third down conversions. But that being said, I mean, sure, San Diego State gained 409 yards, but
they're bulldozing it.
They're bulldozing it, but even then, I mean, only 19 first downs, 104 passing yards, which we said was not very good. 305 rushing yards. It was all Chad Price and Donnell Pumphrey.
And even Dakota Gordon had averaged nearly 7 yards a carry and 5 runs. Where would you put San Diego State then? Like,
I currently, in my power poll, because I voted for my power poll tonight, I currently had them 6th in the conference, 2nd in the division. Behind San Jose State.
Here's the thing. I'm probably dumb for saying this, but I still think the Aztecs have the capability to win the division.
Absolutely.
Defense is good enough, and they got Pumphrey and who's finally showed up in Price. So I don't know what Fresno is going to do. Really quick before we move on, is DeRuiter making it out of the season?
That's debatable.
Debatable.
They lost both their rivalry games.
Who's their other one?
San Jose State. They lost a trophy.
Oh, two trophies.
They lost two trophies.
Oil can and the V.
That's a big no-no, man.
Oh, man. Let's go back. Let's go to chronological order like we should. Air Force, Navy. Air Force, the mistakes. The mistakes. You lose 33-11. You know what the best part of this game was?
The ending?
Well, no. CBS Sports Network actually streamed this game. They flipped the switch.
Nice.
And I was quick enough to notice they left the embed code on, so I popped it on our website for a little while. So got to check that out in the second half with us. But we know they have the capability, but they'd never flipped the switch until now, partly because their window is never long enough for the games. But then this is also a pretty big deal. You should just go read Dwayne's recap on the game, but it was just a Keenan Reynolds show. Because here's the name.
Which it always has been.
But he only had one touchdown. That's it.
Look, he doesn't need to have a lot of touchdowns. He just needs to have the majority of the action. He can spread around the touchdowns. Here's the thing. With Navy, I kind of predicted this last year when I was and I work with Underdog Dynasty, but I was kind of... Oh, yeah, I know. I kind of said that Navy last year had the potential to break out. As long as they could basically support Keenan Reynolds with the full package.
They did it this game, though. That's the thing. This game, they didn't.
No, I know. In this game, they did not. But this year, in general, just Navy all around seems like a more complete team. Mm-hmm. Their defense was better than Air Force's defense.
Yeah. Neither rushing game did that well in this game.
No, they didn't. Well, and it figures when you have two triple option teams playing each other, they're not going to be great.
Good point.
I mean, the biggest thing was, you know,
no running game for Air Force. Air Force couldn't run the ball.
Yeah, only 204 yards for Air Force. Only 270 yards for Navy. I mean, both of these teams are usually to do much better.
Yeah, but right outside
Carson Roberts. Carson Roberts had the only pick of the game.
Doesn't help.
No, it doesn't, especially when you're losing the turnover battle. Especially when you're losing the turnover battle four times. That's three fumbles. Two of those fumbles came in the first half. That's, actually, I think all four turnovers came in the first half, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's what most of the issue was. And they were down 27-0 at one point.
Yeah, all four turnovers came in the first half.
And that sealed the game right there for Air Force. You can't control the ball. You fumble it. I don't think they're... I watched a little bit of this here and there. I didn't see a ton of it, but I'm pretty sure there's some sort of precipitation with Joaquin on the horizon. And that could cause for some issues when you're handing the ball off, you're tossing, you're pitching, you're counter faking.
But how much of an effect does that really have, really?
Well, I'm not blaming them.
Navy should have had the same effect.
True. They may have practiced.
It rains in Colorado, hate to tell you.
It does, but I mean, like, the way they do the option offense, you're going to pitch it to the side. You're a lot of different motions to hand the ball off. And if the ball's ever slippery, I know it affects both teams, but I'm just saying that's an issue on this.
And so now you have, Navy's obviously going, I can't say obviously is going to win because Army somehow looked really good against Penn State, almost beat them.
That was weird.
It was weird.
So, but Air Force, I think this is more of an aberration than them being not this good.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really think Air Force is better. It just didn't tell the whole story. And I mean, Weston Steelhammer and company didn't cause any turnovers, which is what this Air Force team is really used to doing. This Air Force team thrives on the turnover game. And so the fact that they got out turnovered that badly, right? Is that a word? Sure. I'm making it a word.
There it is. We made it right there. Yep, it's in. As for, really quick though, I put in our ranking post earlier today about the top 25 of Boise back in there. The American's a much better conference. I think the winner of that conference could overtake Boise in that New Year's Day bowl game. We'll get to bowl games later.
Only if they're undefeated.
I think Navy could get in if they only lose to Notre Dame next week.
It depends on how bad. I mean,
of course.
Notre Dame is not looking that great, by the way.
They handled Georgia Tech pretty good, though, and that's a similar offense.
And Georgia Tech isn't that great, as we've seen this year. Well, and not only that... And not only that, Notre Dame lost to Clemson.
That was
really dumbly yesterday.
They did really dumbly.
They almost lost to Virginia a few weeks ago.
And we know
Boise. I think this Notre Dame team is severely overrated.
They are, but if Navy can beat them, then
Then it comes back to the AAC will get the team in if they go undefeated.
Well, as I put it, they have Navy, Temple, Houston. And who else is undefeated? Memphis and Cincinnati both undefeated? No, they played each other. Cincinnati's undefeated, right?
No, Cincinnati's 2-2 or 3-2.
No, it's Navy, Air Houston, and Temple. Those are right there. So we'll see. We'll get to bowl stuff later, but Air Force, they're not going to play this bad every game, and I'd still put them up to beat even Boise State, any team in the Mountain Division. Just because they beat Boise so bad last year with their offense.
It was Boise State turning the ball
over.
Well,
you like said, the defense. Well, regardless, they still beat them pretty handily. Like you said, still hammer getting interceptions is what they did last year and what they're trying to do this year. And they are unfortunately on the wrong end of that this weekend. So they're 2-2 on the year. Next game.
Wyoming.
Oh, do we have to talk about this?
The one of our Twitter questions was... how many more games does Wyoming need to lose before we stop acknowledging their existence? And the key is they're not Idaho, so we are going to acknowledge their existence.
Poor Brian Hill.
Yeah, you have to feel sorry for the guy. But it's funny because Underdog Dynasty, so you know, you guys have we have the Slack app that the staff uses to kind of communicate with each other. So as does Underdog Dynasty, as does many of the other SB Nation blogs. Well, Underdog Dynasty, the guy who's actually our Appalachian State writer, literally said this. Let's see if I can find it because I found it.
You can't have the build up and stop.
Yeah, no, I totally can.
Suspense. I thought you were trying to build up here.
Where was it? Something to the extent of he actually said, holy hell, Craig Bohl is doing good things at Wyoming. After a blowout win.
By his team.
By his team.
Here's the thing, Brian Hill.
And he was at the game yesterday.
Brian Hill, he, honestly, if you're going to vote for an MVP, here's the thing, though. Here, let me, no, that's kind of a bit out there. That's what I was going to say. People could probably infer what I was getting at. But their offensive, who they have on offense, is not bad, really. Tanner Gentry was just added to the Blitnikoff Award list. Brian Hill's, I would say right now, the best running back in the conference. Him and Jeremy, yardage-wise, he's better.
He might actually, yeah. He if we have like a mid-season, and we're going to do our mid-season show and our mid-season awards, people. But he might be my vote right now for mid-season conference MVP. I mean, he's got 99 attempts so far, 669 yards. That's averaging to about 6.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, even more than McNichols, who has the touchdown machine but not the yardage at the moment. And imagine if he wasn't on Wyoming. They'd be even so worse because Cameron Kaufman, he did okay. He went 14 of 19. The yardage wasn't there at 155.
But you don't need lots of yardage. Yeah. Lots of screenplays can take care of that. Lots of short routes.
Yeah, you got Brian Hill and Tanner Gentry. Gentry's a very good receiver. Kaufman's doing well enough. He threw for, 350-something last week. And the I forget who they played, but he just lit it up last week. But I don't know why Sean Wick didn't play in this game. He got no carries.
I wonder if he's injured.
That could be because he only got a couple last week as well. I didn't see anything into it. But this game, it's Wyoming's defense. They're very young, and because is Kaufman a senior, I believe. But their offense, I'm looking right now, but they have offensive players on this team to not be this bad. Brian Hill's getting the yardage, but he's not getting in the end zone as enough as he needs to. And look at App State. Taylor Lamb was awful. 312. Marcus Cox did okay at 178. He had 159-yard run, but it was defense and special teams the reason Wyoming lost the game. Because if I recall, it wasn't the opening kickoff return for a touchdown?
Yes.
They got return. They had a pick six. Oh, no, it was a pick six for a touchdown. Sorry, not the return. They had a 91-yard pick six, and this game baffled me. App State got out to this huge lead without doing much of anything.
Yeah, it's just, and that's exactly right. Like you can't. They're not, you know, they're not. I can't say Wyoming's absolutely abysmal because they are, but there are positives to take away from this team.
Yeah. Oh, let me rephrase that. Sorry. It was a long kickoff and a 59-yard touchdown on the first play or 59-yard run on the first play. I got things mixed up, but.
And that's just defense not being set, but that sets your tone for the rest of your game.
It's 14-0. They had a pick six. Wyoming then punted. It was 14-7, but it's like, look at this game. Punt, punt, punt. Missed field goal. Interception. Fumble. Touchdown. Jeez. Wyoming, their fumble led to a touchdown. They missed a field goal. Wyoming fumble. 14. Oh, sorry. That's the same one. Sorry. App State turned over and downs. Look at this. Look at the third quarter. Look at the third quarter. Punt. Okay. Touchdown. Great. Good for you, App State. This alternates. Wyoming, App State. Fumble. Downs, punt, 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 field goal for App State. Touchdown, Wyoming, end of game. That's the second half. That's the second half. That's an abysmal second half, man. Jeez.
Yeah, it's...
App State's 3-1, and this game, it's just... I tried to watch. I'm like, I couldn't get into it. It was basically two plays took out this game. That long touchdown and the pick six. Without those... I'm not saying Wyoming would win, but who knows what would happen if it's 17-13 or something. Let's take away those 14 points. Wyoming had one drive of 11 plays, and that's it. Nothing was longer than, nine plays? They had 11. They had a couple drives that were 8 and 9 plays, but they didn't go anywhere. I don't know why the guy said that comment, but Wyoming's just a baffling team to me. And because App State's not very good either. They made big plays, but they're not a good team, I don't think, like overall, really.
Yeah, and Appalachian State is a good team this year.
No, not they're 3-1, but this game,
They're going to challenge. They're going to challenge Georgia Southern for.
Yeah, you're probably right, but this game, like, there's nothing overly impressive outside of their running game to me. They had the big run play for that touchdown, and then they made some. Their defense is pretty good, I'll say, but Wyoming, they're number 12 in my power poll. They're terrible. They might not, like I said, they may not win a game all year.
Right.
But Craig Bull is safely back for 2016, correct?
Yes.
Oh, and yeah, also
he shouldn't be anywhere near fired.
Cameron Coffin's a senior, so good luck with whoever you got next year. But Brian Hill, oh man, he can't go to the NFL. I wonder if he would, if it's this bad next year and he's still putting up numbers, I'm wondering if he'd just go to the NFL after his 3 years and be done with it.
Yeah, he might be.
All right, next game.
We talked way too much about that, by the way.
I know we did. We got to hustle this along. We got some good games to talk about, too. Oh, Auburn, 35. San Jose State, 21.
San Jose State's good. Auburn was better.
You know what was funny watching this game? The SEC Network announcer saying Auburn's rushing attack is trying to fight through the teeth of the San Jose State defensive line.
Which is terrifying to say. As Auburn collected 234 yards on the ground, and that's nowhere near San Jose State's typical average.
No, actually it is. I looked up. I was shocked. They're actually giving up 200 into the. I'm like, they got to be better than last year. They're actually giving up 3 yards less per game at 236. So they actually held them below their average at 234.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is shocking because I know they gave up 303 to Oregon State, a ton to Air Force. But I'm like, they can't be bad this year. They're playing better. I look at the numbers, almost identical. But yet they're – dude, they got Tyler Irvin who possibly – we're probably saying this every game, but he could be the best all-around player on the conference.
Well, yeah, probably. We talked about – and what was funny was reading like some of the SEC blogs. The Auburn fans just freaking out about this Tyler Irvin guy going off on their defense.
They were. I talked with the Auburn guys, and they're afraid to death that he would run over him, and he pretty much did until he wore down.
And
it's San Jose
State. Joe Gray didn't do that bad.
No, they looked pretty good. They just wore down at the end of the game in some costly turnovers, which, and again, Auburn, they're not great. Even SEC standards, they almost lost to Jacksonville State. They switched quarterbacks. They're not that great, really. But again, it's San Jose State who's been awful with Ron Carriger taking over ever since David Fells left, and they hung around and had chances in this game. They did a few things. They had there was a nice touchdown run by I believe Joe Gray had a touchdown run early in this game. Dove in to get something early on. They were in it, and they. I like same with you and me. They're my number one team in the Western Division right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They're fantastic.
And their secondary, whoo, it's so good. It is they're putting guys in the NFL. They got Ben-Abe and Wickery with the Panthers, I believe. They recruiting the best defensive backs in California. That secondary, it's a good one. And they just again, stop their red zone bet is getting better, but it's that rush defense. If they can tone that down to give up a modest 190 a game the rest of the way, that's my thinking. When they play San Diego State, that's why I would pick Aztecs over Spartans, because Aztecs have the running attack to expose that.
Yeah, but yes, San Jose State lost, but they're just...
You're playing Auburn, come on.
Exactly. And this is like when we first saw Chucky Heaton play against...
Auburn.
Auburn years ago. Sure. This would have been 3 or 4 years ago.
2011.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember
blogging for that one.
6 year senior, man. Super senior.
Remember we were podcasting back then?
No. I do. We're doing something.
I
don't think about it too much.
But it comes back. Auburn slips like that. But San Jose State is... This game kind of confirmed for me that San Jose State definitely is very much possibly the best team in the West.
They didn't get blown out because that's what they've done before. And we've always joked about it and said, but it's very true. You got to take the progression from you're getting stomped, curb stomped 80-10 to winning a couple games and then maybe losing by 2 touchdowns and hanging around late in the game. And that's where the Spartans are at.
Exactly.
And then I was going to look up last year's score, but I know it was pretty bad for these two teams. But it was a good effort, and it'll be interesting to see what happens go rest of the way. So next game is – oh, I lost my schedule here. It's another Mountain West game, right? Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Cannon!
Take the floor.
Cannon has gone red.
Take the floor.
The cannon is ready. I was watching this game on my phone on Campus Insiders.
Nice.
I watched – so remember, I was at a dance yesterday and mid-afternoon to early evening, and I had this game on my phone.
Hey, that's what it's for.
My friend's like, and my friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm watching a football game. It's not on TV. He's like, yeah, but why are you watching? I'm like, A, because it's rivals, and B, because these teams fight over a cannon. He's like, wait, really? And then people actually got interested. I've never seen UNLV this. You can't say this dominant, but they were. It was 13-0 at half. The last time Nevada was blanked was in 2012 in the half.
And this offense doesn't allow that to happen, the pistol.
No, it does not. And even when Nevada was coming back, the defense did the right things. Tony Sanchez is making UNLV and making his players believe in what he says.
And here's the thing. Nevada was one of my teams who could probably still win the West or be one of the top teams out West because the pistol, Tyler Stewart needs to get better throwing the ball. But with Butler and Don Jackson running the ball, they have a reasonably potent offense to get things done.
But not anymore.
Apparently not.
Here's the thing. Decker went down with an injury.
Yep.
Decker went down with an injury in this game. And the backup quarterback comes in, and they still win. How many UNLV teams would you have said that happened?
Never. Kurt Palahniuk has had plenty of reps. Well, not plenty, but a handful of reps in nearly every game. But any backup for UNLV I'd be shaky about, let alone the quarterback.
You know when the last time that happened?
Like
when Decker. Caleb Herring came in for Nick Sherry?
A couple years ago,
yeah.
And then there's the big pick six, because this game was interesting. Like, okay, UNLV was pretty much in control. Nevada wasn't doing much of anything. Then late in the second half, Nevada makes some plays. They get in the end zone. They're making it close. Then there's the two big plays. There's
It's 17-10 at that point. Mm-hmm.
There was a pick six that space sealed the game. But prior to that, there was, I believe, a tipped ball by a UNLV lineman to stop a drive late in the game as well.
Yep.
And
yeah. Even if you watch that whole last drive, and I'm just talking about the very last drive of the half where Nevada was driving. They start at the 25. Okay, Stewart completes a pass for 12 yards. Completes a pass for 3 yards. Incomplete. Complete for 7 yards. Okay, for another first down. UNLV's team is bending. They're not breaking. They're just doing the things that they need to do. Just make tackles, keep it in bounds.
Shocking.
Incomplete. Tyler Stewart scrambles and runs for a first down. Okay, then incomplete. This is all, I mean, forcing those incompletions without penalties.
Yeah, they're not the favorite to win by any means. They're probably still in the middle of the pack, but this West, I wouldn't count anybody, even Hawaii, who got crushed. I wouldn't count maybe Hawaii, but I wouldn't really count any team out. Well, hold on. Fresno State, too. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. The West is wide open, and UNLV probably won't win it this year, but they're going to make it very difficult for whoever is going to win the West Division.
And if they do win the West Division?
Holy crap.
By the way, UNLV is projected to make a bowl game right now.
What?
Yeah. Bowl projections by ESPN.
Idaho Bowl.
The Idaho Potato Bowl. Yeah, they're projected for the Idaho Potato Bowl against Central Michigan.
Would you go?
Brett McMurphy is predicting that.
Would you go to a Rebels Bowl game if schedule permits?
Maybe, yeah.
And it's in Idaho, so I know you know some folks out there in Boise.
I'm making a trip next month anyway, yeah. You know, try and get those photos up.
December 22nd, I'm assuming your school's out.
School will have just ended.
It's a midday game.
For the semester.
Yeah, semester. It'll be interesting in this game. All right, I see them being just a thorn in the side. What's their record right now? Are they 2-2 because they beat Idaho State last week? 2-3.
They're 2-3.
bowl games.
Remember, they lost to NIU, and they were winning most of that game.
Yeah, NIU.
They got, you know. Michigan. So Michigan, interesting stat. Michigan has outscored their last three opponents 87-7. You know who only has that touchdown?
Hey, Reb.
Hey, Reb. And they lost 28-7. And then Michigan beat BYU 31-0, and then beat Maryland 28-0. What does that tell you about UNLV?
I would take UNLV over Maryland.
I'd take UNLV over Maryland, yeah. This is a team, okay, we were joking. In the past we have said that we don't trust UNLV, or rather Jeremy has said he doesn't trust UNLV for anything.
Until they start winning, but they started to win.
By the way, they were practicing today.
Nice. It's what you do, right?
Yeah. They're prepping. I would not be surprised. I mean, this team could probably beat Fresno. Mm-hmm. They won't beat Boise State. They could probably beat Hawaii.
You know how they play next week?
They play San Jose State. If they beat San Jose State,
West leaders,
and they get San Jose State at home.
Mm-hmm. I actually put up the most recent early odds in that game. Just a quick look ahead. It is to pick 'em at the moment.
Is it really a pick 'em?
It's a pick 'em. Yes.
Wow. Oh, geez. Did you see? I'm going to post this on the wall right now so you can watch it. So after they won the cannon, Tony Sanchez completely hurdled the barrier.
Let's put that on the website, bro. That's what people want to see.
Look at your Skype message.
Oh, Skype message. Okay. Yep. This will go on the website when this show's over. That's stuff we need to put up right away, man. Let's see here. I know this is great podcast radio as I'm looking up something on Twitter with my. I hate Comcast with a passion.
But it comes back to this though. Like, yeah, this is great podcast radio, but it's just the overall joy. I mean, holy hell. I am really, really excited for this game.
As you should be. Who would have said ever UNLV San Jose State? Who would want to watch that game? You could have paid me to watch it.
Who would have said at this point UNLV is at the top of the West Division tied with San Diego State?
You?
No, I wouldn't. Let's be honest.
Not even you, no.
I did say at the beginning of the year, I said they can totally beat Nevada. But, you know, when I say that, people usually take me as a crazy person. If I knew that Decker was going to be injured through half this game, I would not have said that.
Oh, the hurdle. There you go, Sanchez. This is on the website when we're done here. Perfect. That's the stuff you put online. That's what people want to see. Did you know, not to go off topic, because we haven't gone off topic in a long time, did you happen to stumble across the LeBron James Instagram of his TV that was put on SB Nation like a couple days ago?
No.
Well, it's basically like it's this little kid, like a toddler. He has a huge TV. Basically, it's really four TVs, but like a huge wall. And that's all it was. Hey, cute kid, looks funny in front of a giant TV. For the day, it had the second most page views on the whole network of over 110,000.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding. That's more. No, 110,000 in less than one day. I checked like at 5 p.m. where I'm at, and stats roll over at 10 p.m. That had over 110,000 page views, second most on any article on the network anywhere. So that makes me sad and also happy at the same time. Like, that's cool it did that, but it took like 5 seconds. Why can't that happen to us? Right?
Yeah.
Next game. Let's move on. We've been going for a long time already. Colorado State, Utah State. Oh, man.
Hey, look. Utah State's back to winning.
I hate to say it's about Chucky Keaton, but Kent Myers, as I put in my recap. I actually did a recap this week. I haven't done a recap in a while. So I was honored to get to do a recap for a game because I got to watch basically all this game, lightning delay and all. And also ESPN misspelling Maverick Stadium with a C when there's not a C. Come on, folks. Get it together. But I put in my recap, and tell me if you think this is accurate. Kent Myers is a better version of Chucky Keaton, whereas he runs a bit better, but not quite there throwing.
Sure, I'll take that.
Because Keaton was never this amazing runner. He did just enough to make plays, but he was pretty accurate, whereas Myers runs better, is doing just well enough to throw.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. But Myers, I hate to say it, but
Chucky should have never came back this year. We've talked about this before, but this team now, and Myers did get Hunter Sharp involved with a long 42-yard pass, which you and me both wanted to see because Myers has never thrown the ball deep well in his six games last year. But this team, they're back.
And we say that with the utmost caution because they're back. And they pretty much dominated Colorado State, but how back are they? I mean, we have yet to see. And we kind of figure this, or maybe you didn't, but I kind of figure this about Colorado State. After the loss to Minnesota, after the inexplicable loss to Colorado, it's just they're looking good, but there's a lot of keys missing. And I just, you know, this kind of exposed them. And now what sucks, because after getting dominated to Utah State, now they have to play Boise State.
Mm-hmm. And I put in the early week six lines that Boise State has beaten them by over double digits each of the past 4 years because it's a 15 line toward the Rams. And I'm like, it's at home too. So it's like, well, we know the Rams can make some noise and they're not a bad team by any means, but they have not played all that well against Boise State. Last year, people are
pissed. The first 2 years that Boise State was in the conference, they beat Colorado State by 50 points.
Yeah, 65-10 the first one. I remember that. But
and 50-0 was the second year.
Something like that. I put that in there in the article. But last year, people are pissed at us for putting CSU number one. But I'm like, dude, Boise, you got crushed by Air Force. Like, not even close. So we had Rams number one until they lost, which I think was fair. But this game, it came down. It was a close game overall. There was light and delay, but it came down to watching Utah State's defense come up big in key plays. Because Nick Stevens, a Rams quarterback, he didn't do all that great. He wasn't accurate. He's under 50%. He got Rashard Higgins involved, which he does what he does. 114 receiving yards, 10 catches, and a 2-point conversion. But the big thing was, the big thing was the rush defense. Dalen Dawkins was a surprise play this game to the hamstring injury. Only had 39 yards. Jason Oden had 55 yards. Nick Stevens scrambled for his life for 24 yards and a great touchdown on 4th and 8 where he basically kept them in around. But this was a game where Utah State defense showed up when they needed to, and Kyler Fackrell had his best game in probably a couple years. Because Nick Stevens was getting rocked every which way. He was getting, I think Fackrell himself had 4 or 5 QB hits.
That's kind of, I mean, that's insane. And here's the other thing. So, I mean, you said Nick Stevens was under that 50% margin. Nick Stevens was 21 of 46. 10 of those 21 receptions went straight to Rashard Higgins. How long was that longest one?
40. Shoot, I just refreshed. I think it was 42.
Like, no, 17 yards.
Oh, it was 17. I apologize. I didn't see it. But
that reception was to Xavier Williams, which was the 43-yard reception.
Oh, that was Stevens' long. That's what it was.
But Rashard Higgins, who's supposedly your deep threat guy, not getting very deep, and Utah State not allowing him to get deep, that was a huge step for Utah State.
Because I think Higgins' average is like 18 a reception or something.
It's something of that sort. I could check you right now on that.
And then here's kind of how the game kind of changed. Like in the second half, Rams fumbled on their opening possession. Utah State
turned. This season he averages 14 reception.
Including this game though, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably a little bit higher prior. So, but here's how the game turned out. There's a fumble that they recovered. I think it was a sack strip fumble. I think that may have been Fackrell's play.
Sorry, I'm tired, dude.
No, sorry. We're trying to move along. That's perfectly fine. That's what people are doing during the show. Yeah, it was Kyler Fackrell, David Malala sack. Kyler Fackrell recovered the fumble. They go for field goal. Colorado State punt. Utah State goes for field goal. Colorado State fumbles, Utah State field goal. This game could have been a huge blowout with those 3 straight field goals. That's where the defense came huge. The Rams got a touchdown to make it 26-18, but then another touchdown. This game was almost over. It was 33-18. Utah State's like, we got this. But then interception, I'm reading this wrong. Sorry. I can't read. The stupid new ESPN's new box score and play-by-play drive drives me nuts.
Oh, by the way, there was no recap written for this game.
I did it. Sucker?
No, I meant for ESPN.
Oh, there still wasn't? Because I was like, it took me a while.
Still isn't.
There's not. It took me a while to do my recap. I'm like, hey, I wonder what they're saying about. There's nothing. But it came down to, like, the Rams tried to make it interesting with the late interception, but they got that's where they got the 26-18. Rashard Higgins got the two-point conversion. They made a – this was where it got scary. They drove down in under 2 minutes. They started moving, and then they stopped Utah State, but then – Utah State got another touchdown later in the game, but the Rams. So you don't. So would you put Utah State number two in the Mountain Division at the moment?
I did put them number two at the moment.
I'm just saying. I got to check that too. Make sure the power poll works. I need to refresh that and see what's going on. But it. What are your thoughts about like how this game kind of ended up? Are you cautiously optimistic about Utah State?
I am. I think they can make a bowl game. I feel that the class of the division is still Boise State.
Well, clearly.
And with the way they're pounding opponents now out with a vengeance, the only people who could possibly stop them is either Utah State or Air Force, and I'm not confident in either one of those teams right now.
Well, we've seen Utah State the past couple of years not showing up against Boise, the only team they have not beaten in the conference.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It depends what Kent Myers can do, but yeah, they're clearly. Who do you put them number two overall then, or just number two in the division?
Yes, I put them number two overall.
I think I did as well. So Rams, they're probably. I think I only dropped the Rams one spot. I think I put them at number four because I'm like, I don't trust anybody from the Western Division. I think if I did my poll, I think I put Boise, Utah State. I may have kept Colorado State three, San Jose four, and Air Force five. I think. I may have done something like that, but I need to look and see. I don't recall. It's tough, man. The West Division, throw dice, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we're up to.
And right. It's not a five-sided dice anymore. I mean, we were joking about UNLV, but UNLV could actually be competing for the division title.
And Fresno, are we forgetting Fresno or no?
Yeah, we'll throw Fresno in there just for kicks and giggles.
Just because. All right. Next up is
Rio Grande rivalry.
Ooh, I love our guys who talk about this game because stupid Root Sports, I couldn't stream it where I was at because I live in the footprint because I wasn't at home. However, dude, they set late second half, those unanswered points. I was afraid at some point that UNM would not win this game.
Yeah, it was 29-15 in mid-third quarter.
And when does New Mexico ever come back in football?
Never.
It's... I'm trying. Sorry, my computer's being terrible. I don't have my stuff pulled up here. But regardless, they're 3-2, on track for my prediction for a bowl game. Football
Yay!
Bob, football Bob in a bowl game, and probably
football Bob.
And if you look at the, I just got the ESPN stuff up here. They have. Oh, they don't have New Mexico bowling. They should. I thought they would. I know some people have, but if they go to a bowl game, it's probably the New Mexico bowl game. Play at home because that makes the most sense. I hate my computer at the moment. I have nothing to say about this game because I don't have the stats pulled up. I do know Tajon Gibson finally showed up with a big
Tarion game. Gibson.
Or Taj, isn't Tarion or Taj Gibson? Is it the same guy?
It's Tarion Gibson.
I thought they called him Taj Gibson last year too.
They may have gotten. That may have been a different player.
T Gibson, is that good?
Gibson.
T Gip? Is that appropriate?
Are we going on Tecmo Bowl status now? I mean, is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, sure, why not? All I gotta say about this game, if my computer was proper, we'd be more proficient about this, but here a couple things. You're playing a rival. I don't care if it's New Mexico State, who's just as bad as Idaho, if not worse. They come from behind, and New Mexico never comes from behind. They're 3-2. They're gonna have, I don't know if they'll make a bowl game, but they're in the – hey, they're going to be – have they – yeah, they already beat Wyoming, so they already beat Wyoming. Do they get Fresno this year?
They might.
They're hoping to get Fresno?
Here, I'm going to look this up. Fine. I'll make this easy for you.
I'm sorry. My computer – I'm glad our connection's working well, but I have like
five – Oh, they don't get Fresno this year.
Dang it. Who else – who do they get from the West?
They get Nevada next week. They get Hawaii the week after. They get San Jose State.
I could see maybe at least one of those.
Two out of those three?
Maybe.
I can see
two out of three. On a good end, I could see two out of three.
Considering that Nevada just lost against their rivals, who knows?
Exactly. Who knows what is exactly going to happen? But they get a huge win for them. I don't care who you beat. They got a win they needed. They're moving on. They're 3-2. They're doing good things. I like Lamar Jordan. I know he does throw a little bit better, but they just need to get Gibson and Jarrell Presley involved in the ground game. If they can get those two guys consistently, then they could be a good team. Carlos Wiggins had a big play. I believe he had either a touchdown or a kick return for a touchdown. He needs to step up, or not necessarily him, but they need to get him the ball because he's probably the most underrated playmaker in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go on to we discussed the Canadian Boise State game, final game of the night, right?
Well, yeah, because we discussed Fresno State, San Diego State earlier.
A long time ago, apparently. So, 55-0.
So
49-0 at halftime. I could say this, that Brian Harsin will not give up in the first half no matter what the score is. Will not.
Yeah, which pisses off Norm Chow really, really bad. He was not too happy.
Well, but I get that last touchdown was a bit much in the first half, a little bit, but still, it's like, put a defense out there. He wasn't, if I'm correct, that first or the final touchdown in the first half was not a passing touchdown, was it?
What?
Was that the touchdown at the end of the half? Was it a running touchdown, right? And McNichols.
I think it was. It was a McNichols. It was either a McNichols touchdown or it was a Kelsey Young touchdown.
I think it was Young untouched up the middle, if I recall. It was like a 30-yard run draw play or something. But here's the thing. I expected, maybe you didn't, but I thought Hawaii for
most. It was McNichols touchdown.
Okay, McNichols. I knew there was one pretty simple. Maybe it's Kelsey Young was before. But I thought Hawaii would actually hang around like they did against Wisconsin, against Ohio State, against these better teams. But maybe they're just worn out and tired because their offense is not very good. But I thought defensively, they showed up well against other teams that are supposedly be better than Boise State.
So here's the thing. Either Ohio State and Wisconsin aren't as good against Hawaii as we thought, or it's exactly as you said. But even if that's the case, you still wouldn't expect Boise State to be just completely, utterly blowing Hawaii out 49-0 at halftime. Like, that's playing FCS standards. In fact, that was the FCS score against Idaho State.
Was it 52-0 or something?
And 52-0 was the final score. So
how bad is that Hail Mary?
Boise has just... Huh?
Hail Mary. How does that hurt?
You want to know how bad it hurts? I tweeted something out earlier tonight. They've been playing about the same amount of time at this point. Ryan Finley before he went down injured, and Brett Rypien now through this game. So they've been playing about equal time. Ryan Finley's stats through about nine quarters, 46 of 70, 485 yards. That's a 65.7% completion rate, 6.93 yards per attempt, one touchdown, four picks. Here's Brett Rypien's stats through nine quarters. He's 51 of 69 for 718 yards. That's good for a 74% completion rate. He's averaging 10.4 yards per attempt, six touchdowns, and oh, by the way, zero picks.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm not pandering to Boise State fans or anything, but is he?
You totally are.
Well, no, people say, "Hey, Boise State," or whatever. We hate every team or like every team, whatever you want to take from that or biasness of this game. Go Utes, by the way. But is Rypien, is he the best quarterback in the conference? Would he be your offensive player of the year in our midseason poll?
He might be. He's up there. Like I said, he's up there with Sean Hill. If you gave me a quarterback of midseason, he's definitely my quarterback.
I was thinking about, because I'm going to set up our poll, like who's going to be offensive player of the year, preseason, all that stuff. It's got to come down to, it's probably going to be in our voting, it's going to be probably be Rypien. I'm going to put on there, at least right now, I'm going to put Higgins on there, Rypien on there, Tyler Irvin on there, Brian Hill on there, and I'll have to look deeper at the moment, top of my head, but that's probably who I'd stick in there, and that's probably maybe there's going to be one or two just to fill it out. But he
and how's this for Boise State right now?
And McNichols probably
BYU loss.
Yeah,
since the BYU loss, they've outscored their opponents 163-14.
Ooh.
They decimated Idaho State 52-0. They decimated Virginia at Virginia. By the way, that's the only second win against a Power 5 team.
Conference.
Yeah, when traveling to the team, not like as a true away game, not as a neutral site game.
Oh, for Boise State, you mean?
Yeah, that was a 56-14 win, and then this 55-0. Like, if I was the rest of the conference right now, I would be terrified.
Yeah, I would. Max Whittick, I think Woosley got in to play QB. Both are terrible. Steven Lakalaka showed up running the ball but didn't do much. Paul Harris, who we thought was the guy, did nothing. Marcus Kemp, 5 receptions, but this was just a blowout in any means. And did you like that trick play that Brian Harsin called the exact same play 8 years ago with Kellen Moore?
The fumble Ruski against Oregon?
Yeah.
I remember that because I watched it live.
Check the Bronco Nation news guys put on Twitter. So I did a quick post comparing the two plays. Identical. Like, go check it out. It's Kellen Moore's refreshments. The only difference was that Rippins went for a touchdown. Everything else, it was identical. Turn around, do the little corkscrew with your hand, pop up and throw it to a guy streaking down the middle of the field. Check it out. Exact same play. I was like,
yeah.
And he was the OC at the time, obviously. So he's like, I guarantee he was thinking about that to do it. Because why would you? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't, but I would say he was. I basically say if he tells me he wasn't, he's lying. Just because it was the exact same play, formation, and everything.
The question then becomes with Boise State, and there's not too much else to talk about this game. It was utter destruction. I mean, Boise State had 275 yards passing. They had 279 yards rushing, 3 picks.
McNichols is a touchdown machine.
Yeah, I mean, but we already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Rousa, very, very effective so far this year. He's, he is 9 for 10 on field goals.
Not bad.
24 for 25 on extra points. But let me go ahead and bring this to you because obviously we're trying to close up the podcast here.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Boise State now and as opposed to the rest of the group of the five? Because I voted in my underdogs poll and I revoted and
I need to vote momentarily.
Memphis dropped for me. Memphis was my number one. They dropped after nearly losing to South Florida. And South Florida is not a good team.
They are not. I'm looking real quick. I think I put Boise State back up top last week. They're my number one. Yeah. I think I had, if I recall, I think it was, my internet's being stupid, so I probably won't find it. But I know Boise was one. I think I had Memphis 2, Houston 3.
Toledo 4?
No. Sorry, Toledo 2. Excuse me. Boise, Toledo, Memphis, Houston, BYU, and I think Navy was 6, something along those lines. But they have to be number one. I don't care. BYU struggled versus...
And they're ranked.
Yeah. They're the highest ranked team. Memphis is right behind them. BYU struggled, yet they're missing their top 3 running backs and everything, whatever. The teams
are BYU ranked. Struggled against UConn on Friday night. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Oh, it's 30-13. No. They struggled.
They pulled away in the fourth
20
quarter.
20 points. 20 points was in the fourth quarter.
UConn's getting better, but still, you're at home. They should have won by more, in my opinion, even with the running game they have or lack thereof playing. But as for the rest of the way, they cannot lose the game if they lose the route.
Yeah. Memphis 5-0, but like I said, nearly lost to USF and a very poor USF at that.
Well, they still
Temple's
Houston,
Temple's
4-0.
Too. Temple's 4-0, and yes, they did beat Penn State, but Penn State's not looking that great either. Had a hard time versus Army yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And if not for the final sack of the game, Army might have beat them. You know,
mm-hmm.
Houston looking good, but who have they played?
They beat Tulsa.
Of note.
Tulsa's pretty good.
They beat Tulsa, but Tulsa is, like I said, Tulsa's good, but how good is Tulsa? We've been trying to figure that out. Tulsa right now is 2-2.
They almost beat Oklahoma. They have no defense. They have no defense. I can tell you that.
Exactly.
I would say this. It'll come.
Navy is. I'll be honest. I think Navy is the best team out of the American.
I like Houston a lot, but again, with Tom Herman there, he's doing good.
I liked Memphis at the beginning of the year.
Cincinnati's looking good. They beat Miami, but they already lost twice. Correct.
Yeah, they're nowhere near in a group of five bowl.
Here's what it's going to be. If Boise goes undefeated the rest of the way, it's probably them. But I would say is anybody who's undefeated from the American will get in over Boise State because the American's a tougher conference. And especially if the only exception, which we discussed pre-show, is if Navy gives a tough loss to Notre Dame but still goes undefeated. Like they're 12-1 and their only loss is to Notre Dame, like say by a touchdown or less. Then I could see them getting in over a 12-1 Boise State team.
Yeah, it's
a lot of football to play, but that's kind of, I think, the past 3 weeks, Boise's been the most dominant team, I believe, outside of those within their peer group.
Right.
All right, do you have anything else to add? We do have a question here real quick. Daniel,
we got a few of them.
Yeah. We already answered the hot seat one. Daniel wants to know, how did you celebrate the victory over Nevada?
I personally responded to him. I said I opened up a bottle of Las Vegas Distillery's Grandma's Apple Pie Moonshine.
Perfect. I assume that was after you got home from the high chaperoning, correct?
It wasn't chaperoning high school.
Oh, I thought it was. I apologize.
What makes you think I was chaperoning a high school dance? No. This was on my own fun thing.
Oh, I apologize. I thought you... Well, I know you teach high school, so that's why I kind of thought...
Yeah, homecoming is this week, dude.
I'm sorry. I just...
And I'm not... There's no way I'm going to a homecoming dance. I am going to U.S.-Mexico this week.
Oh, that's right. That's October 12th.
That's October 10th. Oh, that's 10th. The Saturday.
Saturday on regular old Fox, too.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. That's right. Okay. Awesome tickets for it. There's something
$500 a piece, man.
Woo! Man, that's a pricey ticket. I'll watch from my home of some sort and watch the game there from the Rose. It's in the Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So there's one other comment I like to mention here, but you probably won't get it, but it's hilarious. You want me to say it anyways?
I probably won't get it.
Oh, I'm serious, because this weekend, if you look on Twitter, follow certain people, it involves BYU. There was LDS conference this weekend, pretty big deal. And our guy Tim Hansen, because you know who he is on Twitter, Tim D. Hansen, yeah. He retweeted a tweet. He tagged me and Parker and the USU front row. There were, because a couple people passed away, so they need to fill out the first 12 spots in the presidency. So whatever, that's all you need to know. And then the guy comments on there, good to see two Utes and an Aggie put in there as apostles weekend. Unfortunately, BYU gets shut out of the Big 12 once again. Thought that was great.
Hey-o!
That was funny. That's a good one. If you don't get it, it's still funny. 12 people and, yeah.
I actually got that.
Good. Excellent. It's just, I'm going to retweet. I just saw it a while ago, but I thought that was pretty hilarious. So, sorry, BYU fans. But who's listening here if you really like BYU, right?
Yeah, they definitely should not be listening to this podcast.
Probably not, but that's what we got for tonight. This is a long show, longer than we thought, because we got stuff to do. You got stuff to do, but check us out. You got Greek Podger on Twitter. You got MWC Connection, MWCConnection.com. Go to SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Again, leave us a 5-star, but whatever you want to say, give us a review. Comment in the post how awesome or terrible we are, right? That's all we ask for. Give us some feedback. And really quick, do you want to do our mid-season show next week sometime after week 6 games? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, week 6 or week 7.
Okay. It'll probably be one big show. We're probably not going to do an additional show because we're busy people. But thanks for listening. And again, like I said, we're always biased against your team. And check us out at MWCConnection.com.